Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that's available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 16 lines from the top of Daf Tes. You will notice a triangle, number 3. We're essentially in the middle of a discussion. The triangle with the point facing up indicates that the Gemara will be citing a source that will be unlike the opinion of the Amora Rav Yehuda, who had claimed that Rochuv lo kani, that sitting astride a found animal does not entitle you to ownership of it. Toshma, echod Rochuv chamor ve'echod tofus b'mosera. Two people competing for ownership of a found donkey. One is riding astride. In other words, he's sitting astride the donkey, and the other is holding on to the mosera, the reins. Ze kona chamor, veze kona mosera. The one riding or sitting atop the donkey, sitting astride, acquires the donkey, and the one holding the reins acquires ownership of the reins. Shma mina, we would conclude from this, rochuv kani, that sitting astride an animal entitles you to acquire it. That's unlike Rebbe Yehuda. The Gemara rejects this. Hacha nami, here too, like we answered back on Daf Ches Amud Beis in our previous year, Bemanhig Beraglov. He's not just sitting astride the animal, but he's also kicking the animal with spurs on his boots, causing it to walk. The act of causing an animal to walk is called meshicha. It's a form of acquisition, and it therefore entitles the one who's rochuv, who's sitting astride the animal, as we said, not just sitting astride, but also causing it to move, to acquire the animal. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section, and on the side of the Gemara, in the margin, there's a starred note that says, Achrei HaSograyim, after the bracketed section, HaGemara Mamshicha Binyan Rochuv Ikoni. The Gemara will continue with this analysis. Does Rochuv acquire or not? In other words, we're trying to cite sources in favor of or against the Amora Rav Yehuda, who claimed Rochuv Lo Koni. Pesach HaSograim, within the bracketed section, Gemara Dona B'Knias HaMosera Shemuska B'Mokar, number 3. Within the brackets, the Gemara will deal with the issue of the acquisition of the Mosera, of the reins that was mentioned in the source cited after the triangle, number 3. And with that in mind, we glance in our other margin where we have a topic heading, and we indicate Pesach HaSograim, the tomorrow we'll discuss within the brackets the following. Lefi ha'ukimta, according to the way we established the mocher number 3, medaber b'manhig b'raglov, is speaking about someone causing the animal to move by kicking it with his feet. Lomo mashma da roichev lokona b'mosera. Why is it then that the roichev doesn't acquire the reins as well? Now we turn to the Gemara, the bracketed section. E hachi, if so, that this source number 3, is dealing with manhig beraglov, causing movement of animal through kicking it, nikni nami rochu v'mosera, let the one who is riding it also acquire the reins. Well, with that question in mind, we proceed with responses. You'll notice we have a house marking on the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh heading. We indicate Tikune Lashon Shel Moker number 3, Laor Kushi Hanal. we'll say, upgrading of the text of the Tanaic source, number three, in light of this question. So the first attempted upgrade, Ema, rather say, as far as the Tanaic source is concerned, Ze kona chamor v'chatsi mosera, v'ze kona chatsi mosera. The one who was rochuv acquires the donkey and half ownership in the reins, and the other party holding the reins acquires half ownership in the reins. Bishlama, the Gemara points out, I understand Rochuv Kani, the one riding the animal, acquires a holding in the reins, the Komagba Le Bandas, the other party, the party picking up his end of the reins, is responsible for the picking up of the reins, entitling the one who is riding upon the animal to acquire a share in it. Elotophus b'moisera b'maikoni, the party that's holding the reins, through what does he acquire half of the reins? Rashi elaborates. We take a look at the Rashi together on the upper part of the narrow lines of Rashi. Bishlamo rochuv, I understand the rochuv motzis lemeimer dekona b'hagboas chavero shebi'a roisha hasheni min hakarka, the acquisition of half the reins on the part of the one riding the animal is a result of the other party picking up his end of the reins from the ground. The komagbo lo bandas, you have a man of sound mind picking up the reins. Picking up is a form of acquisition. Elotophus b'moisera b'mai koni palgo, how does the one holding the reins, his end of the reins, acquire half of them? V'halo rosha hasheni munach b'mekaymai, the other end of the reins is on the animal's back, is on the animal's neck, if you will. V'hagboas hefker lo kanya ad'oka l'kulei, acquisition of hefker, acquisition of that which is unowned, in this case the found donkey with its reins, in this case, where is the hagboa, where is the picking up? Picking up of, in order to acquire hefker, you have to have it entirely picked up. So the fellow holding the reins, vis-a-vis the other end of the reins, it's on the animal's neck. No one is picking it up on his behalf. So now let's turn back to the Gemara. Ema, so with this problem in mind, we restate the source. Ze kona chamor, v'kule mosera, v'ze koni ma shetofus biyodo. The fellow on the animal acquires all of the reins, the donkey and all of the reins, and the other fellow acquires that which is in his hands. That the 2 or 3 inches of reins that he had, that is held within his hands. The Gemara asks, "Hi, my, how are we to understand that? Even if imtinsa loimar hamagbi matzil chavero kona chavero, even if you say, like Rami Bar Chama said in our previous shiur on Daf Ches, one who picks up on behalf of someone else, one who picks up a found article on behalf of his friend, his friend is said to acquire it. Hani mili hecho de kol magbo le adaita de chavrei. That is true when the picking up is done with the other party in mind. Hai adaita di de kol magbo le. The fellow picking up the reins, the other end of the reins that was lying on the ground, when he picks it up for himself. Ihu lo koni lachrini machni. He himself does not acquire because of the fact that the other end of the reins is not being picked up by a bandas. So he doesn't acquire. How in the world can he acquire on behalf of someone else? How can he acquire on behalf of the person riding upon the animal? Omar Ravashi. So here we have the third attempt to restate the source. Ze kona chamor ubeis pageha, the one riding upon the animal, acquires the animal, and beis pageha, that's the apparatus of the animal that's bound upon its head. The reins are attached to this apparatus. So that is acquired by the one who is acquiring the animal itself. The base pagel is said to be like the animal itself. Vizeh kono mashitofus biodo. And the fellow on the ground holding the reins acquires that which is enveloped within his hands. Vashar, all that is between, lo kono lo zeh velo zeh. Nor the person on the ground picking up his end of the reins, nor the person riding upon the animal. And being that that's the case, if some third party would come and grab the reins in the middle, so he would acquire. Rabbi Avohu Omar li'olam kidekotani. Rabbi Avohu goes back to the original source as it appears, namely, the fellow upon the animal acquires the animal, and the other fellow holding the reins acquires the reins. And when we say acquires the reins, it includes the apparatus that is attached to the animal's head holding the reins. And what is the basis of Rabbi Avol saying that? Hayil v'yachol l'nasko l'havio etzlo. Since the fellow holding his end of the reins, fellow standing on the ground holding the reins of the animal, if he were to yank the reins, he would dislodge them from the animal's head and bring it to him. So since he has that potential of detaching the reins through yanking upon them and bringing it to himself, he is said to acquire the entire apparatus, the reins and the apparatus that is attached to them. The Rashi, Hoyil V'yochol, the Rashi that we're looking at together is a little more than halfway down the Rashi column. It says, Hoyil V'yochol ha-tofus b'moyser l'moshcho b'koyach v'yinotek mirosh ha-chamor v'yivyenu etzlo. Since the one holding on to his end of the reins could draw upon it, yank upon it, and bring the entire apparatus to himself, the hayil v'roish hachamor gavoa, since the animal's head is high above the ground, noyach lehavia etzlo b'nesika achas. Through one yank on the reins, it's easy for him to gain full possession of the reins. So, keeping that model in mind, Rabbi Avol says what he does, that the fellow holding his end of the reins acquires the entire apparatus. However, the Gemara rejects this. You'll notice we have a long point. V'hod Rabbi Avol Barusa hi. That which Rabbi Avol says is Barusa. The word Barusa literally means something that's outside. It's an unwelcome idea. It's not part of our halachic thinking. Why does the Gemara describe Rabbi Avol as being? There's another girsa, by the way. Badusa means that what Rabbi Avol says is a joke. If you don't say that, in other words, if you don't reject Rabbi Avol, talis shi munachas chetzio al gabi karka vechetzio al gabi amud. Imagine a garment lying part on the ground, dragging on the ground, and part on a pole. So part is low on the ground and part is high up on the top of a pole. Ubo echod vigbia chetzio me'al gabi karkin. Someone comes along, and once again we're dealing with an unowned talus. Someone comes along and picks up the end from the ground. Ubo acher vigbia chetzio me'al gabi omud. And then someone else would come along and pick up the end that is high atop the pole. Hachi nami, you read this with a tone of wonderment. Hachi nami de kama koni baso lo koni. Hayo v'yochol enasek ulahavi etzlo. Are you suggesting here that the first person acquires the entire talis, the second, the last guy, the basra, the second guy doesn't acquire anything because the first guy could have yanked it and brought it to himself and brought the whole talis over to himself? And we don't see any chiluk like that. Rashi points out, we don't see in the halachic literature any distinction made based on that analysis. Elo ha de Rabbi Avo barusahi. Rather, that which Rabbi Avo says is outside the realm of halachic thinking, and therefore we're left essentially with what Rav Ashi said in his explanation of source number 3. Toshma, we return to the general topic, namely the opinion of the Amora Rav Yehuda that said Rochuv lo kani, and here we have a source that, with the triangle point facing up, presents a problem for Rav Yehuda. Toshma Rebbe Lezer Omer, we have a Tanaic source wherein Rebbe Lezer says Rochuv basadeh umanhig boir kana. Someone who is rochuv on an animal, he is sitting astride an animal in the fields, as opposed to in a city. And one who is drawing an animal, leading an animal in a city, both cases are dealing with, we'll say an unknown animal. Kona, these are means of acquisition. But we have dashed underlined the key words, rochuv, kona. Those two words received a dash underlining, indicating the problem for Rav Yehuda. Hochonami, the Gemara responds. Take note of a diamond marking, and on the side of the Gemara under our Mivna, our structural note, the diamond represents Tshuvos Lukushi al Rabbi Yehuda Mimoker number 4. These are responses to the question that we just raised against Rav Yehuda from source number 4. So what we answer, Hocha Nami Manhig Baraglov. Here too, as we've explained earlier, we're dealing with someone who's causing the animal to move with spurs on his boots. In other words, Rochuv doesn't mean merely sitting astride the animal, which that would not be a means of acquisition, according to Rav Yehuda. This source is describing something else. He is not just sitting astride the animal, but he's also causing it to move with his legs. Well, ihachi hainu manig. If that's the case, then that's one and the same as manig. Manig also means causing the animal to move. And this source makes a clear distinction. The Gemara says, tre gavni manig. There are two types of manig. There is one drawing an animal with its reins, and there is one sitting atop an animal, spurring it on with his boots. Well, ihachi rochuv beir my taimo lo kani. If rochuv is in effect manhig, why then does the source say that rochuv in a city would not acquire? The Gemara answers: Omar Rav Kahana lefi shein darkon shel bnei adam lirkoiv boir. It's not the way of people to sit atop animals in cities, riding atop an animal in a city. So, since it's not the way, it's not the derech, and Rashi adds mishum tzniusa, it's not the way of modesty to ride atop animals in cities. And since it's not the way, so it's not an acceptable means of acquisition. Omar lay. Now here we have a long question taking us down to the bottom line of the Gemara. Omar lay Ravashi l'Rav Kahana. Hello, Me'ato. According to your point that Ein Darkon is therefore is not a means of acquisition. If that be the case, he'd be Arniki b'Shabbos. Imagine someone picks up a found wallet on Shabbos. Shein Darkon Shabbani Odom Lag be Arniki b'Shabbos. It's not customary. It's not the way of people to pick up wallets on Shabbos. Hachinami delo kani. Are you going to say that he does not acquire it? Hello, my David Ovad. Rather, we say what he's done. He's done. He's done something, albeit not the normal way. It's not the normal behavior of people. But what he's done, he's done. Vikoni, and he does acquire. Hachanami, so too in the case of the found animal, my d'avad, avad v'goni. What has been done is done, and he does acquire. The Gemara recognizing the strength of Ravashi's point, responds as follows. Elo b'mekach u'memkar askinon. The source, number four, describes a business transaction, the sale and purchase of an animal. We're not talking about a found item. The Omar Lay, in the case of a transaction, what happened in case four is where the makne, the seller, said, Kni kederech shebenei odom kainin. Acquire the animal that I'm transferring to you in the way that people acquire. Well, then the issue of how people behave becomes essential. And with that in mind, that we're dealing with a commercial transaction, and the issue of practice, common practice, is the deciding factor, the Gemara at the top of Omid Beis, where we continue, has some qualifications on what was taught in the source. The double underline you can see on the in the margin of our Gemara on Omid Beis, top Omid Beis, under the Mivneh, where a double underline is featured. We've written Dugmois Shirichiva Nechshav Kidarko Bemeko Chomemka Velochen Kine. Even though we said that Rochev in a city is not normal and wouldn't be Kine, there are cases that it would be acceptable. So we now continue with the Gemara with these qualifications, how Rechiva Be'ir is Darko. V'i Rishus HaRabim Hu Koni. If the animal is being transferred in a public domain, so even though you're within a city, Rechiva is the normal way. In a public thoroughfare, even though you're in a city, it's normal for people to ride atop animals. Rashi on the top line says, "V'i Rishus HaRabim Hu Koni." If it's Rishus HaRabim, then there is acquisition Be'ir. In a city, the derech liukayv sham, it's normal to be rochev, to ride atop animals there, velo lahanig, not to draw them, cause them to move along without being upon the animal. Why is that so? Pen yifsiku evri drochem beino levein behemto. If you're merely being manig, in other words, you're on the ground and calling the animal to come toward you. Since it's a public thoroughfare, other people might come in between you and the animal, preventing you from effectively acquiring it. So in a Rishus HaRabim, though you're in a city, the means of acquiring it is in fact by being rochev, riding atop the animal. V'i adam choshev hu kani. If the person acquiring the animal is a man of esteem, man of importance, man of stature, then it's not the normal way for him to draw an animal along the streets, but rather it's honorable for him to ride atop the animal, even though it's in a city. And v'i isha hi kanya. Likewise, if it's a woman that's acquiring it, it's not the way of women to draw animals and walking along with them. So her method of acquisition would be, in fact, by riding atop. The Inish Zila Hu Kani. And likewise, to the other extreme, if it's a man of very low rank, a man who has no self-esteem, he would also acquire by riding atop the animal. So that on the in the two extremes of popular ranking, rochev beer is the normal way of acquisition. For the common rank and file individual, there, as we explained before, it's not honorable to ride upon an animal in a city, and that's what the source was referring to when it said that rochev acquires in a field but not in a city. We continue now. Boy, Rebbe Lozer, Ha'imir l'chavero. Rebbe Lozer asks regarding someone that says to his friend, "Mishoch behema zu liknois kelim she'olehah mahu." draw this animal in order to acquire vessels upon it, without actually acquiring the animal itself. What is the din? The markings that you see involve a bracketed section of just two lines, and following it, the I should point out that within the brackets there is an upgrading of language. But Rebbe Lozer's question has been raised, the idea of making a kinyan, or doing an act of kinyan, on an animal with the idea of acquiring only vessels upon it. So after the brackets, the Gemara raises the two sides of the question. Mi mahanyo mishicha de behema laknuye kelim oiloi. Does the drawing of the animal serve as an act of mishicha regarding the vessels upon it or not? Let's go over the Gemara. Again, we pointed out that within the brackets, the Gemara points out an inaccuracy in the way the question was phrased. Liknois? Is Rebbe Lozer saying, or describing someone saying to his friend, draw the animal liknois mi omar le kini? Does the seller or the owner, the seller, say acquire? We don't see any instruction to actually acquire. Ella, rather, the way the question should be presented is, mishoch behemazu, draw this animal ukini, and thereby acquire kalim shaleha. Instead of using the word liknois, it should have said ukini, a direct instruction, meaning acquire. Not in order to acquire, but to actually acquire. I think that a little bit is lost in the translation, so let us simply emphasize the Hebrew of this issue. Saying mishoch me'mazu liknois kelim doesn't indicate an actual transaction of the vessels, but by saying mishoch me'mazu ukini kelim shalo, that indicates an actual transaction of the vessels. Mahu, does that work? Mi mahanyo mishicha de behema liknuye kelim. Does the drawing of the animal, even though you're not drawing the items upon it directly, you're drawing the animal and thereby the items upon it move, but you're not doing the mashiach on the items themselves, does that suffice to acquire the vessels? Or maybe that's insufficient. The Rashi, across from here, a couple lines down, you notice, mi koni kelim v'mashiach ha-behema im ha-behema. Does the acquisition of the vessels take place through the drawing of the animal? From the fact that this question is being put thusly, namely, acquisition of the vessels without acquiring the animal, you are left with the power to infer the midikoni behema koni kelim mishum teres chotzer, that if the transaction was draw the animal in order to acquire both the animal and vessels upon it, that would be effective. Who says, though? In other words, the premise upon this question is being raised is now being brought into question, and the premise would have been that by drawing the animal with the intent of acquiring the animal in addition to the vessels upon it, that's effective. Mishum teras chotzer. The animal is viewed as a chotzer, a courtyard. The kaimelon, chotzer shalom kaimeloi. If, let us say, someone made a transaction concerning an actual courtyard, a piece of real estate, and along with the real estate, you were said to acquire portables along with that. That works. The kinyan that you make on the chotzer, the kinyan, the act of acquisition that you make on the courtyard, enables you to acquire portables along with it. Ubehemto kechatzero, and in this case, as we said, the inference from your question indicates that the behemo would function like a chotzer. In other words, just to repeat, if the transaction was one involving the animal and vessels, the drawing of the animal would enable you to acquire not only the animal but the vessels upon it. The vessels are acquired through this concept of chotzer. Ah, but that doesn't work. V'chotzer malechesi. You're dealing with a walking courtyard. The animal is walking. V'chotzer maleches lo shaminon diktikni. We do not have any precedent for a moving chotzer to acquire. The chiyas raboi, imotzei biyodo. Gago chotzer v'karpifo is raboi. Tolo nayid. V'ave mishtamer. We have a concept of different forms of courtyards acquiring. All that's derived from a pasuk, im himotzei timotzei biyodo, and from that pasuk we derive acquisition through items being acquired on one's rooftop, one's courtyard, one's karpiv, an enclosed area. But all of those are things delonaya, they're not in movement, and they're guarded. So we turn back to our Gemara with all of that in mind. Omar Rava. Rava, in response to the question that was raised, namely the acquisition of the portables by drawing the animal without actually drawing the animal, Rava says, "E Omar le kini beimo u kini kalim, mi kani kalim?" And if the deal would have been acquired the animal and the vessels, would he have acquired the vessels upon the animal? You're describing a moving chotzer, and a moving chotzer doesn't enable you to acquire. And if you say, well, the animal would enable you to acquire if it stood still and it's not moving anymore. But that's not true either. For hakal she'ilu mahalech lo kono, anything that if it were to walk would not enable you to acquire. Or maybe v'yoshev lo kono, if it were standing or sitting, also you don't acquire the portables along with it. However, is it not so that in the question that Rabbi Lozer asked, there was an assumption that if the transaction involved the animal and the vessels, you would have, in fact, yes, acquired the two? So the Gemara explains that exists. V'hilchisa b'kfusa. That would be true if the animal was bound up. Namely, if the animal was tied up and it had vessels upon it, and you were transferring ownership of the animal, and you said, acquire the animal and the vessels upon it, since the animal was bound up, you would have, in fact, acquired the vessels as well. There you don't have a problem of chotzer maleches. With that in mind, what would happen if you make a kinyan on the animal without the intent of transferring ownership of the animal, but with the intent of transferring ownership of the vessels alone? The Gemara continues. Omru le Rav Popo v'Rav Huna b'rei d'Rav Yoshua l'Rava. We should take a look at the side of our Gemara where we have heading under the Mivneh heading, the structural note, which introduces the diamonds that you see. Elo me'ata. Those are the words highlighted by our diamonds. Kushes al hodema rava de chotzer maleches lo kona. These are questions on that which Rava said, that a moving chotzer does not enable you to acquire. With that in mind, the Gemara asks Elo me'ata. A person is sailing in a seafaring vessel, a boat, and fish jump into the boat. Are you going to say that you're dealing with a moving chotzer, the boat is moving, and therefore you do not gain ownership of the fish that jumped into your boat? And that is not the case. it's a given that if you own a boat and you're sailing in it and fish jump into it, you do become the owner of those fish. So how do we explain that in light of what Rava said, that chotzer mehaleches lo kona, that a moving chotzer does not acquire? Omar lei, so Rava answers, Sfina meinach naicha. It's all a matter of perspective. The boat, Sfina, the boat, meinach naicha, is really at rest. It's not, the boat is itself in a stationary position. Umayahu de komamtu la. It's the water that's causing it to, it's to cause its location to be changed at every given moment. But the boat itself, in contrast to an animal, the boat itself is doesn't have any internal locomotion. It's not like the animal that moves itself. Omar le Ravina le Ravashi. Elo me'ata. Well, if that be the case, that chotzer mehaleches is lo kona. Hoysa maleches b'shus harabim. Imagine a woman walking along a public thoroughfare. And her husband, Vizorak lo get l'sercheko l'serch kalsa. Her husband throws a get to the woman. It lands in her bosom, or it lands upon her kalsa. Kalsa is a type of basket that women wore upon their heads. There's reference made to a kalsa maseches ksubas tafayin beis amid beis. And the get that he throws to her lands in this basket upon her head as she's walking along. Achanami delo migrasha. Are you going to say that she would not be thereby divorced because she doesn't, is said to not acquire the get? Omar le, so Rava, I should say Rav Ashi responds, she is divorced because kalsa meinach naicha. The basket, it doesn't have internal locomotion. The basket is really is at rest, is motionless. Ve'ihi dekamaskia mitusa. She is walking underneath it. But as far as the get and where it landed, the get landed in an entity that itself, being that it has no internal locomotion, it itself is stationary. And therefore it is capable of acquiring the get on behalf of the woman. The Mishnah. Hoya roichev al gabi behemot. V'ro es hametzia. Person is riding atop an animal, notices a found article, an item, an unowned item. V'yomer l'chavero t'nali, and from atop the animal he says to his friend on the ground, give it to me. Not la v'yomer ani zochisi ba. If a fellow on the ground picks it up and says, I have acquired it, Zochabah, the one who picked it up, acquires it. Im mishenosna lo omar ani zochisi ba tchila, lo omar klum. If after he gave it to the person atop the animal, he then said, the one who picked it up initially says, after giving it to the man atop the animal, well, I gained ownership of it first, lo omar klum, he has said nothing. Tanan Hossam. We have a Tanaic source featuring a person from the general public that comes and picks up, collects tithes earmarked for the poor. Mi shelikate es hapea. Pea is one of the different forms of tithe that field owners leave to the poor. Viomar harezu leploni oni. And he announces this. That which I'm the crops that I'm gathering for, that I am gathering, I'm gathering for so and so, the poor man. Rabbi Lezer Omer Zochalo. Rabbi Lezer says that's effective, and it becomes the crops owned by so and so, who was who the collector had in mind. The Chomim Oyrim Yutnena LeOni Hanimtza Rishon. The Chomim say that doesn't work, and he who gathered the payah must give it to the first oni that comes by. We have a long point now. Omar Ula, Omar Yeshua ben Levi. Machlekes, the disagreement between Rabbi Elazar and the Chumah that we just saw, may Oshir Loni, if the locate, the one collecting the payah, was himself a man of means, in other words, someone not entitled to it for himself, and he, the Oshir, is gathering it for an Oni, for a poor man. The Rabbi Elazar Savar, Rabbi Elazar holds the following. You'll notice we have a double underline highlighting the word migu. There are two migu expressions. Migu is a word indicating potential, or since the following could take place. Rabbi Elazar is going to be explained by Ula as reaching his conclusion because he has a combination of two potential situations. Now we explain. Rabbi Elazar holds migu di iboy mifkar nichse v'avi oni v'chazile hashtonami chazile. Since the oshir, the man of means who is picking up the, is gathering the payah, in theory he could declare all of his property unowned. He can mafkir all of his property, and if a person were to do that, he would be a man of poverty. He would have no holding. Oh, and as such, he would be entitled to collect payah. So now that he hasn't actually been mafkir his property, hashtanami chazile, it now, because of this potential, is also fit for the man. Omigu dezochilen hafshe, and since he could acquire it for himself, zochi nami lechavrei, he can acquire it on behalf of his friend, the oni. For Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan who disagree with Rebbe Elazar hold, chad migu amrinon, trei migu lo amrinon. To develop a thought based on one potentiality, that we can accept. But to introduce a reality based on two potentials, that's going too far. Hence, the Chachomim say that if it were a case of from Oni, Oshir picking up for Oni, the Oni, the specified Oni would not acquire. Avol, me Oni la Oni, divrei akol zochalo. However, says Ula, that if the one gathering the payah was himself an actual Oni, not an Oni in potential, but an actual Oni, his declaration that I am picking it up, I am gathering it for my friend, the Oni, everyone would hold, Divrei HaKol, everyone would hold, even the Chachamim would agree, Zochalo, that it is effective. Based on the idea, Demigu Dezochil and Avshei, since the person picking it up could take it for himself immediately, Zochi Nami Lechabrei, his act of collecting for his friend is also effective. Omar le Rav Nachman le'ula. You'll note that we have a long question, and this will take us to the third line from the top of Daf Yud Omer Aleph. Rav Nachman says to Ula, "V'leim omor me'oni loni machloikes." You should really say that even in the case of oni to oni, there is a machlokes. And the Rabbonon would say, loy zacha loy lechaveroi. And why should you take that position? Da mitzia, when it comes to a found, unowned item. Hakol aniyim etzla. Figuratively speaking, everyone is considered poor with regard to that. Namely, what do we mean everyone is considered poor? So Rashi says in the middle of the wide lines under the Gemara text, Dom mitziah ha'kol aniyim etzla klomar, ha'kol k'sherim l'izkeisbo k'aniyim b'peah. It doesn't mean that everyone is poor, but it means everyone is eligible to acquire the unowned found item, like the poor are eligible to take possession of Peah, the poor man's tithe. And what do we know about the case of Mitziah, which is being parallel to the case of Peah? Utnan, Hayaroichev Agabi Behema, V'ro'as Mitziah, our Mishnah, man riding atop an animal, notices in the distance a found article, V'yomer l'chaveru t'noli, and he instructs of his friend on the ground, give it to me, notla v'yomer anizo chisiba, he picks it up from the ground, and says, I am the owner of it, I have acquired it. Zochaba, the one who picks it up acquires it. Now, the thinking right now, the thinking in this, in presenting the, in Rav Nachman presenting the Mishnah is, when he says Anizo, when the person picking it up from the ground says Anizo Chisibo, means that even though initially I picked it up for my friend upon the animal, I now want to zoichen it. I want to become the owner of it. He, the one who picked it up, becomes the owner of it, and not the man atop the animal. So that the one picking it up, even though it was initially picked up for someone else, it doesn't make that someone else an owner. E amris bishlama me'ani la'ani machlekes. If you say that even in the case of from ani to ani, in the case of the peah, one ani picking it up on behalf of another ani, there would be a disagreement amongst the tanoim, where the chachomim would say the specified ani does not become the owner of it. And this is unlike Ula, hence we're in the middle of our long question on Ula. And if you say that from Oni to Oni is a machloikis, you notice the dashed underline, the dot underlining, in contrast to what Ula said, that me Oni loni divrei hakol zochalo. No, if you say me Oni loni machloikis, then masnisin, we continue at the top of Daf Yud, masnisin, our Mishnah, which feature the case of Mitziah, which is parallel to the case of the Peah. Money, the Mishnah would be authored by whom? Rabbonan he. It would be the Rabbonan that we saw by Peah, that says that there is no acquisition on behalf of the specified Oni. In the case of Mitziah, though the man atop the animal had indicated he wanted to be the owner of it, and the picker-upper initially had that person in mind. When he initially picked it up, he had that person in mind, the man on the animal. The man on the animal, he still does not acquire. So that, if that be the case, our Mishnah would be according to the Chachomim in the case of the Peah, where the specified Oni does not acquire. However, if you're going to say that the machlokis involving the peah was in the case of an oshir picking up for an oni, avol me oni li oni divrei hakol zochaloi, but when it comes to one oni picking up on behalf of a fellow oni, the specified oni becomes the owner of it. Well, then ha money, our Mishnah, which involved the mitziah. And as we said, in the case of Mitziah, everyone is a case of aniyim. They're all eligible for it. And we saw in our Mishnah that the fellow initially specified does not acquire. As then, how many? Our Mishnah we've authored by whom? Lo Rebbe Lozer, Lo Rabbonan, to Lo Rebbe Lozer. Not by the Rabbonan. It wouldn't be authored by the Rabbonan, if you accept Ula's approach, and certainly not by Rebbe Lazar. Omar Lay, Ula response, Masnisin, in the case of the Mishnah, the fellow who picked it up did not pick it up initially with the man on the animal in mind, as we thought. Rather, the Omar Tchila, the fellow in the Mishnah who picked it up, he picked it up initially with himself in mind. So that the Mishnah doesn't represent the case of one picking up on behalf of someone else. Hochi Nami Mestabra, and furthermore, this is most likely to be the case of the Mishnah. Tikotoni Seifa, because as you continue reading the Seifa, you continue reading the Mishnah, what do you see in the continuation of the Mishnah? It says, if after giving the item, this was a second case in the Mishnah, if after giving the item to the man upon the animal, the initial picker-upper, the magbia, said, I acquired it tchilo, I acquired it first. So he has said nothing. Tchila b'seifa lomali, pshita. The word in the Mishnah, tchila, that we've dashed underlined. What is the purpose of that word? Is it not obvious? Even if you didn't have the word tchila in the seifa of the Mishnah, you would have understood that that was the case where after he gave the item to the person on the animal, the person who picked it up said, I was the owner of it, and the Mishnah says, Lo Amar Klum. What was he in effect saying? In effect he was saying, I picked it up first. I acquired it first. So even without adding the word Tchila, I know that that's what he was saying. If you look at Rashi, right across from here, Loma li la Mishnah ba Tchila, why in the Seifa of the Mishnah, where after he gave the item to the man upon the animal, he said, ani zochisi ba Tchila, why do you have to say the word Tchila? Pshita dafilu lomar Tchila beferush, even if he didn't use the word Tchila, he didn't say it explicitly. Mistama Tchila komar, it's most likely that's what his intention was. Demi motzi lemeimar ani zoche bo achshav. Could he possibly say, I am the owner of it now after he gave it to the fellow on the animal? Although, it's not in his hands anymore. So, by trying to lay claim to it after giving it to the man on the animal, he would have to have been saying, I became the owner of it first. So, as the Gemara says, why do I need the word tchila in the seifa scenario, in the second scenario of the Mishnah? It's obvious. Afagav de lo omar tchila, tchila ko omar. Even without saying, I picked it up first, that's what his intention was. I became the owner of it first. That's obviously what his intention was. Elo lav ho komashmon. Rather, the point of the Mishnah is as follows. Reisha di omar tchila. In the first case of the Mishnah, he had said, I picked it up initially for myself. So if we go back to the Mishnah and appreciate it now through Ula's eyes, the Mishnah said a man was riding upon an animal. He saw an item in the distance and he told his friend, give it to me. The fellow on the ground who picked it up said, I am picking it up for myself. In other words, he never expressed any intention of picking it up for the person on the animal. His initial picking up was for himself. Oh, well, in that case, so he becomes the owner of it. But if when he picked it up initially, he picked it up for the man on the animal, then the man on the animal would acquire it. As Ula explained, that me'oni la'oni divrei akol. If it's in a case of oni, everyone will agree, zochalo, that the one picking it up acquires it on behalf of the specified other individual. We continue in the Gemara. Ve'idach. Now that Ula made a strong case for himself by showing that the word tchila indicates that the initial picking up was for himself, then what does Rav Nachman say about that? After all, Rav Nachman said that when you pick it up for someone else, lo zocha chavero. Even where your initial picking up is for someone else in mind, Rav Nachman says, that specified individual does not become the owner of it. So what about the tchila in the seifa? The Gemara continues. Rav Nachman will tell you, Tana seifa ligluye aresha. The Tana uses the word tchila in the seifa to shed light upon the resha. Seifa, the Omar tchila, in the seifa, he said tchila. Resha, the law Omar tchila. In the resha, he did not say tchila. He didn't say I picked it up immediately for myself, but rather I picked it up for the man on the animal initially. And before giving it to him, he said, I want to keep it for myself. Rav Nachman tells you he is able to keep it for himself because you cannot pick up something on behalf of someone else. As Rav Nachman said, even me'oni la'oni machlokas. And according to the Chachamim, you would have to, if you picked it up for someone else in mind, that's not an effective means of that specified individual acquiring it. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a double underline marking. On the side, we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. The double underline highlights Deos Be'inyan Hamagbia Metzia L'Chavero. Further opinions on this topic of picking up a found article on behalf of someone else. The Gemara. Rav Nachman, Rav Chisda. And by the way, you see, Rav Nachman, don't be surprised. Regarding what he says. They both say, Rav Nachman, Rav Chisda, Amagbi Matzila Chavero, Lo Kona Chavero. And that's consistent with that which Rav Nachman just explained, that picking up a Matzia found item on behalf of someone else does not entitle him to acquire. My taima, why is that the case? Answer: Havi toifes lebal chayv b'mokim shechav lachirim. Fa toifes lebal chayv b'mokim shechav lachirim loy kono. Let us explain this and then read it again shortly. If you have a person that borrowed money from several individuals. So we have a borrower, and we have lender A, lender B, lender C. Lender A, for example, has money that's owed him by the borrower. Lender A happens to have a friend, and his friend is toyface, grabs payment, grabs money or an article for payment on behalf of his friend, lender A. This borrower doesn't have the means of paying off all of his creditors. By the friend of lender A seizing money from the borrower, he's thereby causing a loss to lender B and lender C. In other words, he's depriving lender B and lender C of getting their pay. That's called toifes lebachov, someone grabbing on behalf of a creditor, b'mokim shechav lachem, in a situation where it causes a loss, a deprivation to others, causing others a loss. And the rule is, and we'll read that again in the Gemara text, v'atefis l'balchoy v'mokim shechav lachem lo kona, where someone tries to acquire on behalf of a creditor where it's going to be at the expense of others, so there's no acquisition. That is not a form of agency. So too, in the case of a lost item, or I should say an unowned found item. That unowned found item is we'll say, up for grabs to the entire population. Now, if someone comes along and picks it up on behalf of someone else, mind you, he's not picking it up for himself. He's picking it up on behalf of someone else. So he's thereby depriving others from taking that found item for themselves. So that is an illustration or an example of Magbia, of Toifes Lebal Chov, Mokom Shechov Lachirim, grabbing something on behalf of someone else where it's causing a deprivation to others. Eisvei Rava L'Rav Nachman. Rava is now challenges Rav Nachman with the following source. Mitzias Poel Li'atzmo. A worker in the course of his workday happens to find an item. He keeps it for himself, even though he's employed by someone else. Bamed Bamumurim. Under what circumstances do we say this? Bizman She'omar Lo Bal Habayis. When the hirer, the owner, said to the worker, Nakesh imi hayom, ador imi hayom. He hired him for specific acts, for nakesh, to weed his field, to ador, to till his field. Aval omar lo, asei imi moloch hayom. If the man was hired for all kinds of moloch, all kinds of work. So the worker is engaged as a worker for all activities. Mitziyasa shabalabayasu. The found item goes to the owner. What do we see here? We have someone picking up, the worker picking it up, and it becoming owned by someone else. In other words, it's a form of magbia mitziya lechavero, kono chavero. Worker picking it up in effect on behalf of the balabayas, then the balabayas acquires. That's Rava's question on Rav Nachman. Omar Le, Rav Nachman responds, Shiny Poyel, the case of a worker is different than a member of the general population. Why? The Yadoi Kiyad Balabayas Hu. His hand is like an extension of the hand of the balabayas, the one who hired him. He's in effect a representative of the balabayas, an extension of the balabayas himself. Question: how do you say that he's an extension of the Baal Bais when we know that a worker can back out even in the middle of the day? So he would appear to be an independent entity. Omar Le, Rav Nachman responds, Kol kama deloy hodar bay, as long as he hasn't backed out of his work, kiyad balabayas hu, he is in fact like an extension of the arm of the balabayas. Ki hodar bay, the backing out in midday possibility that he has, taimo achrinohu, that's governed by another basis in halacha. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, and the pasuk gives license and titles people to back out in the middle of the day. The pasuk says, ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim, avodai heim. The pasuk says that the Almighty looks at the Jewish people as his slaves. They are my slaves. They are bound to me. They're not bound to others. In other words, this worker, which we can view for a moment as a slave, is not enslaved to someone else. He's enslaved to the Almighty, not to other people, not to other mortals. And it's with that that a person can back out. But prior to the actual backing out of the worker from his employment, he is considered an extension of the hirer, the balabayas himself. And that's why the mitzias of the poel goes to the balabayas. But in general, Rav Nachman will tell you that magbia mitzia, if it's a member of the general population picking up a mitzia on behalf of someone else, that someone else, that specified individual, will not acquire. Omar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Omar Rav Yochanan, Hamagbia Mitzia LeChavero, Kona Chavero. Notice another opinion that is, we'll say, parallels Rava's thinking. Rava, who asked on Rav Nachman, was coming from the standpoint that, yes, Kona Chavero. Rav Yochanan says the same thing. Kona Magbia Mitzia LeChavero, when you pick up a found item on behalf of someone else, that specified individual does acquire. The Im Toimar Mishnah Seinu. And if you are going to try to cite the Mishnah where we saw that the one who picked it up after being requested by someone else to pick it up on his behalf, we say no. It goes to the one who picked it up. So that by, we'll say, simple or superficial reading of the Mishnah, you would get the impression that when you picked it up for someone else, that specified individual does not acquire it. So Rav Yochanan explains the case of the Mishnah is different. The Omar, the one who saw the item, instructed Tanoli, give it to me. The Omar Zecheli, he didn't say acquire it on my behalf. Had the initial instruction been acquire it on my behalf, and the fellow picked it up with that in mind, so then the fellow on the animal would have acquired it. By virtue of the fact that the Mishnah's case was tenotli, Rashi explains that until the actual transfer of the item takes place, it doesn't become the possession of the one on the animal. And since before giving it to the man on the animal, the one who picked it up said, I want to keep it for myself, he is entitled to keep it for himself because, as we said, just to repeat ourselves, in the case where the instruction was tenoli, just give it to me, the acquisition would not have taken place until the actual giving. And prior to that, the man who picked it up said, I'm keeping it for myself. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.